Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 13, the Gospel of Luke chapter 13. While you're turning there, let me just make mention of a couple of things. Next Sunday, Mother's Day Sunday, the pastor and Shirley want us to meet with them after the service at their house for a dinner. They'll supply the meat, we supply everything else in our presence, and just have an enjoyable time in the afternoon. There'll be no evening service next Sunday. Also, we'd like to do a little something for Donnie and Shirley and their new house, and almost like new beginnings in a place like that. But the pastor has asked several people if they would sell their pressure washer. We'd like to just go ahead and give him one. And with your help, we can do that. It's sort of a housewarming gift, but that kind of leaves Shirley out unless she gets out there and pressure washes too. But if we get enough in, and I think we probably will, if we get enough in, we'll just give her the cash that's left over and she can buy whatever she wants for the house. How's that sound? What we'll do is the next two or three services here, keep it in mind, and if you designate a gift, give it to Brad, and Brad will hold it for us, and we'll make sure that they get those things. Now, he's been wanting the pressure washer so much, I may have to tell Shirley, don't let him buy one this week. Find some way to keep him from it. So I may have to tell that much about it. But anyways, keep those things in mind if you would. The Gospel of Luke chapter 13, we're going to begin with verse 10. We'll read down through verse 17. And he, the Lord Jesus, was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, which, according to chapter 4, is one of his customs. His custom was that he would be in those synagogues and teaching and preaching. Verse 11, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. That's where I will be getting my topic, my title this morning. She could not lift herself, neither can we. There is no way a man can lift himself up to God. You can take all the bootstraps you want and yank on them, but you'll never lift yourself up to God. Verse 12, and when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and looked the Lord Jesus right in the eye. For the first time she could lift herself. And for the first time, when the Lord had lifted her up, she looked at him and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought this not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loose from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced, for for all the glorious things that were done by him. Let's pray. Our Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer, our intercessor, sitting at the right hand of God for us, the one who shed his blood for us, for us sinners who did not deserve it. And as the songwriter put it, how can it be that you would love a sinner like me? But you did. And you loved us with an everlasting love from all eternity. Before this world was made, before the foundation of the world, you were the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And then coming into the world, they called your name Jesus, for you shall save your people from their sin. Oh, how thankful we are. We're thankful, Lord, for the promise that you made that where two or three are gathered, you'd be there in the midst. And by faith, we see you here with us this morning. And as your custom was to go to the synagogue, we pray, Father, that you would look out among us, see the sons and daughters of Abraham, some that don't know that they are. Oh, Father, we pray this morning that you would reveal yourself to them through the Word of God, through the preaching of the Word of God. Lord, I want more than anything to glorify your name this morning. That's why we came here, to praise and honor our God, and then to be a blessing to your people through the truth of the gospel. We pray, Father, for your blessings upon our pastors and Shirley as they travel back from Iowa. We pray that you would keep them safe, bring them back to us safely. And we pray, Father, that we might honor, glorify, and praise your name this morning in our service. There are folk of our church who are hurting, physically, financially, whatever. Lord, be a comfort, be a strength. You are our comfort. You are our strength. And the joy of the Lord is our strength this morning. Bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me again, please, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13. I do trust this will be a blessing to you as it was to me in my study and learning anew, afresh, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He went to a synagogue, and there he was teaching, preaching. Always there was the reading of the Word of God. I don't know if you've ever been to a modern-day synagogue. I had the privilege many, many years ago to go to one just to see what it was like. Very interesting. Didn't want to go back, but interesting. They read from a scroll in Isaiah. They sang psalms, and most of it was in Hebrew, so I didn't understand a thing I was hearing or whatever. And then the rabbi got up and did some kind of explanation of what was being read. Well, Nehemiah started that many, many, many years ago when they were just come back to the land. And Nehemiah brought the Word of God out, and the people stood from early morning till noon listening to the reading of the word, and then from noon to another portion of time, the leaders got up and gave the sense of the word, gave them the understanding. And so that's what they did in the synagogue. They sang the Psalms of David, the Psalms about our Lord, and they praised, though maybe not as a true daughter or son of Abraham, they praised the one true God. And they may not have understood exactly what was going on, because many of those in the synagogue didn't want to have anything to do with our Lord Jesus Christ. But by God's providence, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. There at the synagogue was one lady. We don't have her name. There must have been many at that synagogue, but there's one that's singled out. It wasn't the richest person that was there, who may have given great tithes and offerings to the synagogue. It wasn't the prestigious that was there that our Lord looked upon, though there may have been some prestigious Jews who were in that congregation. But it was one lady who had an infirmity of 18 years, and she was bowed down so that she could not lift herself. There was no way that she could. 18 years she had been coming to that synagogue. 18 years she came to do what the others were doing at the synagogue, to hear the reading of Scripture and someone give the sense, the singing of the Psalms of David. For 18 years she had been coming, and she could not lift herself. The only thing she could look at was the ground. I don't know how far she was bent over, but she was bent over enough that she could not lift herself. And our Lord saw her. He fixed his eyes on her. He fixed his love and his grace and his mercy on one individual. Oh, that God, our Savior, the Spirit of God, would come through the midst of us and fix his eyes, his love, and his mercy on an individual here who is either a daughter or a son of Abraham. We'll talk about this as we go on. But there's something I wanted you to notice before we get right into the text. Something I wanted you to notice here. The word belief, faith, that word is not even used in this story. Did you notice that? Many times, as with the blind man, do you believe that I can do this? And they say, yea, Lord, we believe. The leper, do you believe that I can take care of this? Well, yes, Lord, I believe. There's not once a mention of that in the story. And the point I'm making is this. This was done through the faith of Christ. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I live by the faith of the Son of God who gave himself for me and died for me. Now, I'm not saying faith is not used in this story. I'm saying faith is not mentioned, and for the reason that it's the faith of Christ. He saw. He looked on. He saw what was going on. He was the one who makes willing in the day of his power. Faith is given and exercised when we are brought to the end of ourselves. I don't know if you remember, I think it was 3 of our conferences ago, Brother Greg Elmquist preached on faith. And when he preached on faith, I'm going to give you his explanations here. They're not mine, they're good. He said, faith is what comes to us when we are brought to the end of ourselves. We have no way to go, no place to go. We have only one person we can go to. It was predetermined here by the Lord Jesus Christ. When we're brought to the end of ourselves, then we can trust him. It's an emptying of self. Faith is the gift of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Faith is the gift of God. I'm sure faith is in this story, but it's not mentioned. You see, he gets all the glory. He gets all the glory. He should get all the glory. The Lord says, believe, so I believed. The Lord says, seek my face, so I sought his face. The Lord says, come unto me, so I came to him. The Lord says, follow me, so I followed him. The Lord delights in mercy, and oh, Lord, be merciful to me today. I need his mercy. The Lord said, I loved you with an everlasting love, so I love him. The scripture says for us to give glory to our Lord Jesus Christ, so I glorify him. And he is the only one worth any glory that can be given. He's the only one who can give us faith. And he's the only one who, by the way, once we get that faith, it can't be lost. We just keep on believing. We can't help ourselves. We just believe the truth. Because the truth makes us free. We believe the Son because the Son makes us free. We believe. We trust. And we just keep on trusting. Every day. His compassions fail not. They're renewed every morning. Every day, we keep on trusting in him. 2 or 3 things I want us to see from this passage itself. In verse 11, it says, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bound together and could in no wise lift up herself. I want you to notice the inability of this woman. She could not do a thing for herself. She had been like this 18 years. Everybody had seen her like this for 18 years. She had probably been coming to this synagogue for 18 years. 18 years. Can you imagine an infirmity like that for 18 years? Time and time and time. The only thing you could look at was the floor or the earth beneath your feet. 18 years she could not lift herself. She was without strength. That's what the word infirmity means. She was without strength. And when we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. That's the strength I need. That's the strength men and women need as they think about standing and facing a sovereign, holy, perfect God. Well, we're weak. We're weak in the flesh. There's nothing we can do for ourselves. There's no way to save ourselves. Mom and Dad can't do it. I can't do it. Friends can't do it. Only God can cause a man or a woman to be born again. Only God can produce a new nature within you. We can't do it ourselves. Why, from head to foot, from the sole of the feet even to the head, there is no soundness in us, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, the scripture says. That's a picture of us. This infirm woman is a picture of us. She had no ability to help herself. We have to come to that place. If you think that you have somewhat to offer God, let me just tell you, you don't. We start at the bottom, we stay at the bottom. He starts at the top, and he stays at the top. All glory then goes to him. 18 years, all our lives, from birth till now, the only hope we ever had is Jesus Christ, the Lord. We're bound together. We're stooped over. All we can see is the ground underneath us. All we can see is the earth. We're of the earth, earthy. She could no wise lift herself. God demands perfection. God demands holiness. Be ye perfect, our Lord Jesus said, for I'm perfect. Quoted several times from the Old Testament, be ye holy, for I am holy. God demands righteousness. And none of us have any of that. Until we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation he accomplished. Then he makes us perfect. Then he makes us holy. Then he makes us righteous. At this point, all my righteousness are as filthy rags. But all his are perfect and holy. And if we stand in him, we are the same, perfect and holy. You see, Paul says in Romans chapter 3, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that doeth good. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. I believe I'll take God at his word. None of us do. Until he reveals himself. To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Until he reveals himself. And we see him. But that's not even this story here. Oh, it's part of it. He saw her. He saw her. He looked upon her. She was bowed together. As a matter of fact, down in verse 16, it says, and ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years. Satan bound. We're bound by the God of this age, the prince of the palace, principalities of this world. But you know what? Our Lord Jesus spoiled principalities and powers. He triumphed over them, the scripture says. The last Adam could not be defeated, but he defeated the powers that be. Satan may bind and blind, but our Lord can loose and bring sight. That's how wonderful he is. Now the kicker is in verse 16. A daughter of Abraham. A daughter of Abraham. Only the Lord could have known this. Hey, that whole synagogue was full of Jews. But there was one that he said was a daughter of Abraham. There was a difference. That whole synagogue, full of Jews, but one, a daughter of Abraham. Only the Lord could know this. Only the Lord knows who they are and how they're bound by Satan, by sin, by their inability. And they shall hear his voice. He not only saw her, he spoke to her. He said something to her. Our only hope is in the Lord. And that's outside of ourselves. Nothing we have can cause us to hope. All that he has is hope. Abraham's seed. If ye be Christ, Paul said, then ye be Abraham's seed. Not all those who are Jews are actual Jews. Only those have been born again. Now some are not. Our Lord Jesus said to some of the religious leaders, if you were Abraham's children, you would believe me. And later on in that same chapter, he said, ye are of your father, the devil. What a wonderful picture of grace is given to us here. First of all, we see the inability of this woman. Pictures our inability before our God. But I want you to see something else here. Someone else here. The incomparable Christ. The incomparable Christ. He looked at her. He spoke to her. He laid his hands on her. He touched her. And immediately she was loosed and stood upright. And immediately she looked her Savior in the face. She had the rare privilege that they had of seeing our Lord Jesus by sight. We see him today by faith, but then faith is going to be turned aside, isn't it? One of these days we're going to see him face to face and forever be with our Lord. He came to this infirm woman. He came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to this infirm woman. He came, God came in the flesh for his people. We call it the incarnation. He lived a sinless life. He was the perfect sacrifice. He died in the stead of his own people. His blood was shed for the remission of their sins. He came to his own. And if the Lord is in the midst of us here, oh, we trust that he will see you. He will speak to you. He will lay his hand spiritually upon you. He'll touch you this morning. He saw her. Oh Lord, look upon me. Look thou upon me and be merciful unto me, David said. Oh Lord, speak to me and be merciful to me. Oh, may I hear your voice. And you know what? Paul said faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Are you hearing the word of God? We're talking about the grace of God. We're talking about the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. He laid his hands on her. Oh Lord, lay your hands on me. Oh please. And you know, when he lays his hand on us, when he touches us, he has to reach down. Because that's where we are. Unable to help ourselves. And what's he do? He lifts us right up. Lifts us up so that we can see him face to face. When he laid his hands on him, this incomparable Christ, how powerful, how mighty, how tender he was to her. And immediately, verse 13, and immediately she was made straight. What a sight in a congregation. Immediately she was made straight. And she glorified God. By the way, this is the first time she ever really glorified God. If this was the time when she was born again, saved. Because if we're going to glorify God and worship him, we must worship him in spirit and truth. And she had something to worship him about, didn't she? She was straightened up. She was made upright. For it made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ, that we might be made upright before the Lord. Immediately she was made straight. Lift up your eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh your help. Your help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. She lift up her eyes and could see our Savior. We do this now by faith. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He touched her. Oh Lord, touch me. Touch me today. The songwriter put it this way: shackled by a heavy burden, neath the load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. Oh, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me, and he made me whole. When she rose up, she immediately glorified God. All glory goes to him. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. We glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. We glory not in the specific piece of wood. We glory in the one who hung there for you and me. She glorified God by standing upright. Those righteousnesses that were as filthy rags that we were and could know nothing about. Now we have the righteousness of Jesus Christ and stand upright. And she is truly worshiping the Lord. There's the inability of the woman. There's our incomparable Savior. In verse 14, there's an indignant religious man, religious leader. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work, in them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. He had absolutely no regard for this woman. Which makes you wonder about whether he had any regard for anyone in the congregation that was there, unless they were rich or prestigious, something from which he could gain. He was a self-serving ruler. He went by rules, regulations, and traditions. His church covenants and laws and bylaws. Some of you have been there. You know what I'm talking about. And man, if you don't do it exactly the way that bylaw says, you're in a heap of trouble. Because they don't care about God's people. Well, in the first cause, they don't even care about God. The accusation, you healed on a Sabbath day. He quoted the scripture. And the scripture was quoted correctly. And how did Jesus answer him? Verse 15, then the Lord then answered him and said, hypocrite. Thou hypocrite. This woman is at rest. She had an infirmity for 18 years. She's standing upright. She's now at rest. She's like those that I call to come unto me and rest. And I will give you rest. Come unto me and I will give you rest. You see, the word Sabbath means rest. I've given this woman rest. And you're going to complain about it? You're going to be indignant about it? You don't even know what the Sabbath means. Hypocrite. When you read through the Gospels, you find out that the Lord Jesus had not one good thing to say to religious leaders. Isn't that interesting? He called them snakes, vipers, hypocrites. He did not mince words with them in John chapter 8. They were going by the letter of the law. When Lazarus was brought forth out of the tomb, the Lord said, take his grave clothes off of him. The Lord has been removing those grave clothes from me for years. For 40 some years I preached just what this leader of the synagogue preached. The letter of the law. Do, 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 don't, or else. And the or else is, if you don't comply with what I think is right, or what our church thinks is right, or what our bylaws thinks is right, we'll just put you out. But our Lord was going by the spirit of the law. And the spirit of, well, by the way, he's the Lord of the Sabbath. Isn't it? He's the Lord of the Sabbath. And the Sabbath was made for man. Not man for the Sabbath, our Lord Jesus said. He was going by the spirit of the law. Hold your place there. We'll be coming back to Luke chapter 13, but I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I want to read several verses here from 2 Corinthians chapter 3 to show what our Lord Jesus was meaning. We're talking about the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, the spirit of the law, and I'll show you that here. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. The Lord Jesus, who has also made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Look down at verse 8. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? The word rather can be translated more. More glorious. Verse 9. For the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. There's something far exceeding in glory. Verse 10. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. There is an excelling glory. What is it? Chapter 4, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Our Lord was talking about the Spirit of the law. And the Spirit of the law is the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. This woman was of much more value than animals. That's what our Lord was saying in verse 15, back in Luke 13. Luke 13, verse 15. Then the Lord answered and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? You'll do something good for your animals. You'll water your animals on the Sabbath day. But then you talk about healing, doing something good, something wonderful on the Sabbath. Well, it says in verse 17, and when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed. Can you just see those religious leaders hanging their heads? Now, they don't hang their heads around us. What are we? But around the Lord, when he answers them, he answers with the word of God. And that's why at the end of the chapter it says, and all the people rejoice for all the glorious things that were done by him. Here's inspired praise. Inspired praise. Look what our Lord has done. Look what he did for you. How he looked to you. He saw you. He spoke to you. He laid his hands upon you. He touched you. Look to him. And when you look at him, you can't help but praise the Lord and honor the God of salvation, who accomplished salvation for us. You can't help but praise him for that word that's forever settled in heaven, that will never return void. You can't help but praise him for the accomplished work that he did for us there on the cross some 2,000 years ago. You can't help but praise him for him going to, ascending to his Father and sitting at the right hand of God and interceding for his own. You can't help but praise him and thank him and enjoy all the wonderful benefits that he has given. You can't help but praise him for his majesty, for his might, for his holiness, for his sovereignty, for all the glorious things that are done by him. Oh, what a Savior. What a Savior. What shall I do to be saved? Paul answered the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He's seeking his own. That's why he came, to seek and to save that which was lost. Is he looking for you? Is he seeking for you? Does he see a son or daughter of Abraham in need in this place? One last passage, and I close. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 61. Very familiar. Isaiah chapter 61. And verse 1. Mark quotes this, and Luke quotes this passage. Isaiah 61, verse 1. Our Lord said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn." That's why he's here. That's what he's saying. That's why he's looking. That's why he wants to touch, to lay hands on. Has he spoken to you? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your salvation that's been accomplished, the power of God unto salvation. Oh Lord, show us our inability. Show us our incomparable Savior. Give us cause to glorify and praise your name.